Gungatrek SBS Hayrena.
It's been a busy few months for ANCA. First, the commemorative events of the Armenian Genocide, and now the 2022 federal elections. To discuss these topics further, I'm joined by Hayk Kayserian, Executive Director of the Armenian National Committee of Australia. Hayk, welcome to SBS Armenian.
Hi, thank you for having me. Happy election week.
Yeah, Hayk, first let's recap the commemorative events of April 24 and the messages sent by the parties. Was there any surprise just a month away from the federal elections?
You know, I think the Armenian-Australian community deserves a little bit of a collective pat on the back, because the continuous battle to have Australia recognise the Armenian genocide over many decades has brought us to this point. And I imagine that maybe a couple of days or a couple of weeks before April 24, the offices of the Prime Minister of Australia and the opposition leader of Australia, Scott Morrison and Anthony Albanese, sit around the thesaurus and they think of what words they can use to describe what happened to our ancestors 107 years ago without using the main word that matters. They do come up with words that I think we can take some solace in the fact that we are definitely progressing this, and there's only little to go in order for proper recognition to be achieved in Australia. So last year, you'll recall, and your listeners will recall, Vahe, that the Prime Minister referred to the events of 1915 as dispossessions, deportations, and deaths against the Armenians. This year, he added a couple more words. He used the word massacres, for example, which is significant. And he also referred to the Armenian Genocide as one of the greatest crimes of modern history. Now, without saying the genocide word, those are pretty telling terms that can be used. The opposition leader also used the term massacres and some of the other ones that I referred to earlier, but he also called on Turkey to face up to its past crimes. And I think when you look at this this turn, I mean, it was only a few years ago under a previous government that, we were not getting statements, or we were receiving statements where there was no reference to what actually happened in 1915. The fact that we basically now have the whole gamut of words in the dictionary available, the full array of, verbal gymnastics on show, basically shows that the Australian government is closer to recognising the Armenian genocide than denying it. In fact, we have defined it after the statements that we received on April 24 this year as only a final step is needed. We believe the thesaurus has run out of options for the government or the opposition, whoever's going to be in government, because there basically is nothing else that you can call massacres, deaths, deportations, dispossessions, one of the greatest crimes against humanity in modern history, tell the perpetrator to face up to its past, other than just basically using the word, the genocide word. So to that end, you asked about the events. It was very important that in the two main events that we had to commemorate the Armenian Genocide this year, that we made it clear to the government and to the opposition that the Armenian-Australian community sees what you're doing, they hear your words, they read them, however, we don't accept them until the final step is taken. That's why the March for Justice that happened both in Sydney and Melbourne simultaneously, with thousands of people collectively attending those marches, calling on ScoMo and ALBO to recognise the Armenian, Assyrian and Greek genocides. That's why that was very important, that regardless of the fact that you've used these words, you've made progress from a linguistic point of view, there's only one word that matters in the law, and that's genocide. And until Australia does that, we're not going to stop marching, we're not going to stop protesting. And I'll tell you what, we're very, very close, to the extent that if I was a betting man, I would prefer to be the Armenian National Committee of Australia right now rather than the foreign dictatorship of the Republic of Turkey. The commemoration, the virtual national commemoration evening, which was a virtual event on Facebook and YouTube Live, it featured over 20 parliamentarians calling on the Australian government to recognise the Armenian genocide. And amongst those were very senior figures of the government and of the opposition. So where this is going, the trajectory is very clear. And now it's up to our community to make sure that our votes count at the election and we only elect candidates who are pledging to be strong on this issue and the issue of ASTA, of course.
Haik, what is the position of other minor parties on the Armenian genocide?
It is a good question because obviously we have to make sure that at election time we are speaking about our issues, be that the genocide, Artsakh, community-related issues as well, of course, with all possible victors of Armenian-populated seats. We've also been participating in this pre-election period in meetings with the Joint Justice Initiative, that we've been meeting along with Greek Australians and Syrian Australian representatives. And collectively, of course, it's not just the typical Armenian Australian seats that are interested in what we have to say. It's also seats that are populated by a lot of Greek Australians and Assyrian Australians. So with that being said, the minor parties and independents in certain seats have been very important for us to speak to. The biggest minor party in Australia, which kind of accounts for about 10% of the vote every election, and in current polling it stands at around 11%, the Australian Greens. They have a very clear position on the Armenian genocide. They, you know, recognise it. They also call on the Australian government to recognise it. They also have an admirable position on self-determination generally, that they support people's rights, self-determination as a party policy. We believe that that, along with the support of all of their senators and MPs as members of the Australian Friends of Artsakh and the Joint Justice Initiative, shows that the Australian Greens are very unequivocal and have reaffirmed that position. In terms of other minor parties that are participating in the election, we have had a meeting with at least a couple of candidates that are representing Palmer's, Clive Palmer's United Party in seats that Armenians are participating in. And we are seeking a party position from them. As yet, we don't have that party position. One of their representatives, Craig Kelly, famously visited Azerbaijan and spent some time with Ilham Aliyev a couple of years ago. So we do want to make sure that that party stands up, stands for our rights now. Secondly, I would also probably bring to attention that there are certain members of the One Nation Party that have declared allegiance on our issues as well in the past when we've been lobbying Senate, but not specifically with regards to this election. And regarding independents, in the seats where independents are obviously making a lot of noise in this election, we have met with those candidates. And in our final report card, which will be released this week, over the next 48 hours, our community will be able to see before they head to the polls where each of the candidates in their respective electorates stand on, genocide recognition by Australia, on the rights of the people of Artsakh, on a sustainable Armenian homeland. Issues around funding will also be, revealed to our community as well. And, bringing some parity to funding compared to, let's say, what Australia gives to Lebanon during a crisis, Ukraine during a crisis, compared to nothing to Armenia and Artsakh during our crisis. And all of these issues are obviously discussed with the major parties and independents in those seats that the independents or the minor parties are in serious contention.
Haik, as we discuss, on Saturday, Australians will elect the new federal government. What ANCA has done in preparation for the elections?
Our office has been working harder than ever in these during these elections. First of all, I think it's worthwhile saying the following, that these elections represent a more unique opportunity for Armenian Australians alone than they have in the past. In the past, we have had elections in my recent memory that where Bennelong, which is the largest Armenian populated electorate in Australia, has been in play, as in the candidates have been polling close enough ahead of the election for people to consider Bennelong to be a flip of a coin or possible to go to either of the major parties. That has happened at least two or three times during my time, advocating on behalf of the Armenian Australian community. That is in play again, because obviously a very popular long-term leader, John Alexander, has retired, and that has paved the way for two candidates to contest that seat. And in both of the cases, we have relationships with them and we are working with them to try to understand exactly where they, how they would represent our community, and we will pass that on, obviously, through our report to our compatriots. But unlike past elections where Bennelong has sometimes been in play, we also have other seats that are traditionally not at risk, let's say, or not in contention. They're typically blue seats or typically red seats that are currently in contention. And probably the most telling of those is North Sydney, which in my living memory has always been a blue ribbon seat for the Liberal National Coalition, or the Liberal Party, actually, to be specific. But because of the challenge of a strong Labor and independent candidate, that is also in play. So the fact that just for the Armenian Australian community, we have two seats where our vote can actually make the difference, the absolute difference, it is important for us to meet with the candidates and make sure that we present exactly what they stand for, but also what their parties stand for ahead of the polls. We have also participated in meetings across the country with candidates in Western Sydney, in Armenian populated seats in Melbourne, in seats in Adelaide. We've also participated in meetings along with our brothers and sisters of the Greek Australian and the Syrian Australian community in seats in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, in the western suburbs of Sydney, in Melbourne. And putting all of these meetings together, we will be presenting to our community through our report card where each of the candidates stand on all the issues that we believe our community is concerned about. We will see if the candidate is pledging to join the Joint Justice Initiative, which means that they support Armenian, Assyrian and Greek genocide recognition. We will let our community know if the candidate is willing to sign the Australian Friends of Artsakh pledge, which means that they support the right to self-determination of the Republic of Artsakh. We will reveal to our community if the parties that these people represent have made any pledges to our compatriots who are struggling as a result of the war in Artsakh. You know, we have asked the government and the opposition to pledge funding to Nagorno-Karabakh, in particular through humanitarian organizations that are looking after the displaced and the detained Armenians as a result of Azerbaijan's aggression in the Republic of Artsakh. We've also sought commitments from the parties regarding where they stand in terms of taking the final step towards recognition of the genocide. We have also talked to candidates about their willingness to visit Armenia, visit Artsakh, which obviously also protects its security and legitimacy in the eyes of the international community. We are also representing various community issues in these meetings with candidates. You know, if we're meeting in Ryde, if we're meeting in Willoughby, if we're meeting in the area where Golston College is in McKellar, we're obviously representing certain issues depending on what the requests are from our community organisations in these areas. And we're reporting all of these things back. Our report card will be a reflection of all of these activities over the last 6 weeks. Our office, especially led by our political affairs director, Michael Kolokosyan, and his young team of administrative assistants have been madly visiting politicians' offices, Zooming with them and bringing up all the information that hopefully will be valuable to our community on Saturday.
Heike, when you discuss, you know, issues concerning the Australian Armenian communities, are there issues that are very localized, like funding to schools, aged care, clubs, etc.?
There are, Vahe. There are some issues that are specific. So, for example, issues relating to support for, you know, Armenians who have come to Australia as refugees from Syria, for example, or Iraq. We talk about, you know, how we can have the government support initiatives, either their initiatives or our initiatives regarding these matters. We had representations from certain organisations in our community who require government assistance for certain things. We bring those up specifically as well. However, generally, we ask every single member that we meet that we don't know exactly what the requirements of our community are going to be in 6 months, in 1 year, in 2 years or 3 years' time. But what we want from everybody who seeks the vote of Armenian Australians is that as those requirements come up, that we want the candidates representing us in Armenian Australian populated seats to support those initiatives, obviously on a case-by-case and a merits basis. And that's the support that we seek in response from from the candidates.
Haik, what's happening in New Zealand? ANCA released a press release a few weeks ago.
Yeah, our colleagues in the Armenian National Committee of New Zealand recently jumped on an issue that was covered in the New Zealand media where every single year an individual, a brave individual, Mr. Noble, attends one of the Ataturk monuments, shrines. I don't even know why these actually exist, honouring dictators in part of the world. But anyway, he attends that shrine and he basically performs, I would call it, a silent protest with respect and in honour of those who lost their lives during the Armenian Genocide. On this occasion, this year, when he was over there, he was actually removed essentially from where he was protesting because, quote-unquote, from the officials that removed him, the officers that removed him, based on conversations that they had with officials from New Zealand's foreign ministry and also from the Turkish embassy in New Zealand, they didn't believe that this protest should be allowed to take place. Now, this goes against, every rights to freedoms that New Zealanders have, and the Armenian National Committee of New Zealand rightly took this issue on. It received coverage in the media, and the New Zealand Foreign Ministry and also officials were forced to deny that they're taking orders from a foreign dictatorship. Whether they are or not is a matter for the public to adjudicate based on the facts that our colleagues in New Zealand presented.
Haik, thank you for your time and the interview, and we'll talk again after the elections.
Thank you, Vahe. I look forward to it.
Our guest was Haik Kayserian, Executive Director of the Armenian National Committee of Australia. Կուզես լսել նման պատմություններ, կընտրե Apple Podcast-ի, Google Podcast-ի, Spotify-ի վրա, կամ որտեղեն որ podcast-ըդ կլսես։